All right, we're back. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back. New week. I'm stoked. This is one that I've had moving around my calendar for a while. I'm really excited. It's a guy that I love his voice. One of my favorite voices. I find myself going back to YouTube videos of him singing originals and covers pretty often. And I just think he's awesome. Mikkel Buck, dude, thanks for coming to hang with me, man. I'm excited, I'm really excited. Super stoked.
You know, I get told I need to do more covers on stuff and have a bigger YouTube presence. Well, that's what I was telling you earlier, that I'm going to start changing lanes, and we're not going to road dog it as much this year, and I'm going to put out some more.
Cool.
I've never been into music videos, and matter of fact, I made a post the other day making fun of all these. It seems like nobody's got any money, so everybody's idea is to get a bunch of like sick of wearing guys in front of a bonfire and do a bunch of,
yeah,
you know,
do a bunch of the hand music. Movements, the Morgan Wallen hand
yeah,
movements.
Oh, and he's not even, I mean, it's bad. It's pretty bad, man.
It's
And
bad.
Like, it's so bad. I was talking to my buddy Aaron Hamm yesterday, because we've got a big show coming up here at Lincoln Theater in Raleigh Friday night, and it's my first time headlining the Lincoln Theater. And
nice, dude.
Yeah, I'm nervous. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know how many people's gonna show up. I know we don't play Raleigh a lot. Last time we played Raleigh, we blew it out. But it's always iffy, you know.
Yeah.
If you're, because American Aquarium was just there and sold out two back-to-back shows. And of course, we're not American Aquarium, but like, you know, I'm hoping we have a good crowd. We usually do.
Sure.
So I mean, I'm nervous. Even at established, like, we'll play like our hometown place, and I walk in and we'll do sound check, and I was like, damn, I hope people come tonight. You know what I mean? And everybody's like, you always worry about it. I was like, I mean, you know, we're not getting any, I'm not old, but we're not, you know what I mean? It's like, I'm always nervous about like people coming, and it doesn't really matter if there's 100 or 300, I always kind of do the same thing on stage. But, yeah, so we were talking about that yesterday, and, so I've got a new tune coming out, and it's totally the opposite of what I've been going that direction anyway. Like, when I hear what's popular and or what guys are listening to or whatever, I tend to kind of, man, I'm going to just keep doing the opposite. Every time somebody releases a song that's popular, you'll get 10 of them that sound exactly the same. So I always do the opposite. I'm going to make one sound not anywhere close to what's going on, in the pop world. And so I've got a new one coming out. It's called Her Again. I'm really excited about the song. I didn't think we were going to get it recorded. Have you ever heard Glenn Campbell's Gentle on My Mind?
Of course. Great song. Right.
I've always wanted to record a song kind of in that realm.
Sure.
A poetic, like deeper country song. And the story of it, I mean, it's funnier than hell, because I took a pretty strong edible and I was wanting to write. And man, I sat numb for like 45 minutes. This thing had me just float. And I was like, man, I was really wanting to write a song today. I had a day off, you know, I had all these thoughts in my head that I was going to write about, you know, trying a topic or whatever. And my mind was just like boom, all over the place. And something told me, write what you're going through now. Write exactly what's happening now. So it starts off, I mean, I think it's March 2nd or sometime in March. We're doing the artwork right now. I just got the photo and the thing.
Awesome.
Now we're making sure it fits the criteria or whatever. But the first line is, I can see in all emotions like I'm walking through 1,000 different daydreams. And I have a little clip of it on Instagram, I think, of me playing it or TikTok or something like that. But it's totally different than the normal country song that's coming out nowadays.
Sure.
And so we were joking about maybe we'll do a video to that song, but do what everybody else is doing.
Just get around the bonfire, like, start throwing your hands.
Yeah, but like start like, you know, we had this idea like we'll start it like one of those, like we're gonna do that, but then I'll hand out mushrooms to everybody. Everybody's like staring at their fingers and tripping balls and shit. So
it's amazing.
I don't know. I mean, if I do a music video, it's got to be something like parody of that crap. That's because I've seen an ad so much, and like I said, it's the same song sung by a different guy. And of course, he, you know, to be relevant, he had to bring two other dudes in it that are already established.
Yeah.
And the whole time they're just pointing at their Dixie cups and pointing in the back and sitting in a bucket lift. And like, it's just so ridiculous,
You're
man. But
100% correct. You're on the money.
the thing is, I call it cul-de-sac country.
Yeah.
It's boys that I think wouldn't know the difference between a red oak and a white oak acorn. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They wouldn't know what a
I mean,
pawpaw
personally,
country
I
looks
wouldn't,
like. They
but
wouldn't
I'm going to
either.
be transparent, but they might.
Yeah. But like, you know what I mean? Like, I was thinking about this yesterday. Like, I've done shows with so many people, like the Ryan Upchurch, who
Yeah.
I personally don't have a problem with. I thought he was a nice guy. We toked it up together. He put on his show. I could tell you what he sings or whatever like that. I don't like that country rap. I don't
Yeah.
like that boasting about. It seems to me like country music got into where it's like, you know, rap used to brag. I got this ride. I got my girl. I got this, and it's bragging. And it seems like it's like braggadocious country boy shit. And I've never been into that type of stuff.
No, me
Like,
neither. The bro stuff, I'm not into it.
well, if you're really from like back roads and like, when did, like, I always ask people, well, you sing any songs about we jack these trucks up or we do this? When the fuck did y'all have any money?
Yeah. It's true.
Because we drove rust buckets, and it's in
Yeah.
my songs, you know,
Yeah.
rust is up Cheyenne, you know what I mean? And we were happy as hell to have anything to fucking drive that, you know, I tell people all the time, I remember going to my buddy's house, he had to get his truck inspected. So we put like black duct tape over the rocker panels because it was rusted out,
Yep.
and then took it through the mud to
That's
cover
awesome.
the and sprayed it with primer because there were different pieces of primer everywhere. You know, primer color wasn't one color. So we
Yeah.
sprayed it with like black primer and then took it through the damn mud and made sure it got covered up mud, and then took it and got inspected so they wouldn't see the rust in the rust
Yeah.
holes in the rocker panels. That's where I grew up.
Yeah.
And it seems to me like in the 90s, you know, there was a bunch of cliche shit in the 90s because it caught on. Anything that catches on and sells, and Nashville's going to recreate as much as they can to make as much money out of it. And it's just, that's
Right.
the business part of it. But when it got into this jacked up trucks or squatted trucks or, you know, bragging about what kind of boots and what kind of shirts you had on, you fucking lost me.
Yeah.
You
Yeah.
lost me. If that, to me, it's so there's a difference between being country and redneck and white trash. And I
Yeah.
don't say white trash country or cul-de-sac country or whatever. I don't have an inkling into that world about jacked up trucks. And I mean, there's guys that did, but we did it rough. I mean, we take like, you know, flat bar cut it pieces, and then we do like they do, like my buddies do, like a body lift or something, or jack
Yeah.
up their leaf springs or whatever. I never personally did it, but like there was no money where we came from. Everybody was poor, you know what I mean? Everybody worked coal mines or coal boats. I worked cut tugboats hauling coal out there. My uncles and my cousins all worked coal boats or a coal plant, or you know, there was no extra money for. I mean, every so often you'd see somebody with a nice truck jacked up, and you're like, damn, that's, you know,
Sure.
his dad must own a McDonald's chain or something, because we didn't have that shit. You know what I mean? And even people with money didn't do that shit because it's unnecessary.
Sure, yeah,
And
for sure.
so it's changed over the years. And that's why when I write, I try to tend to tell a true story somehow or another.
Yeah.
And sometimes it sucks because sometimes you'll be writing a song and you just want to tell a story. I mean, because being a country is a back road, it is a tailgate, it is a fishing pole, it's all that stuff. But you can't tell a story like that because people don't know if you're telling the truth or not.
Right.
So it's so hard to navigate in between that and still sound truthful.
Yeah.
And it makes it hard, you know, to, yeah, let's not put that in there because that's cliche as shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or let's not put this in there. So you have to lean towards more the poetic side of stuff, like your Tyler Childers and your which I'm from the Appalachians, you know what I mean? So that bluegrass Appalachian folk stuff was in my blood anyway too, because I've listened to it. When Tyler came out with it, everybody thought it was brand new. I was like, no, this is just a shit that's been around for
Exactly.
centuries down there, you
Right.
know what I
And
mean?
now it's just becoming quote unquote mainstream, whatever you might want to
Yeah,
call that.
and he's
Yeah.
like I said, the Zach Brown follows path. There's other people following that path, and it's getting burnt out because it and that too, you can see truthfulness, because I know guys that are sitting there singing about the deep dark hollers that are from the or from flatlands of, Carolina or Virginia. And it's like, you don't know nothing about that either. You know what I mean? You're just following suit. So I think the truthful artists always kind of find their way out of that.
And that's why I think I've latched onto you for so many years at this point. Cause I know we talked about this pre-recording, but you were on The Voice and you know, you, that's kind of, I remember watching that I didn't watch The Voice very often, to be honest with you, but for some reason there was a day where I like turned it on TV and I was like, oh my God, like this voice is awesome. Right. Like you sung Brooks and Dunn and you sung She Used to Be Mine. Right. I love that song. And I was like, holy shit, like this guy's voice is sweet. And so I've been, you know, following you for a pretty long time after that. But the one thing that's always been constant is that your songs have always been super authentic. And like, that's the one thing for me that kind of shines through and has for years. And I've been saying this forever, is that I really, I hope that I have a good eye for bullshit. And I love when people are authentic and their songs are real. And you can tell what they're singing about is how they live. Right. And, but then you can also
that's
tell
like
when
you'll
they
never
go
hear
down
me.
a weird
I mean,
path.
yeah, it's, well, that's, you know, I don't sing a lot about tractors and stuff, you know, and one thing about John Deere, it rhymes better than Massey Ferguson or International or like, you know what I mean? Or, and I could tell stories like, when I was a kid, my dad had this old blue S10 and we're driving and it's called Buck Road. I mean, it's in Leon, West Virginia. We were driving up and there's a Massey Ferguson sitting there and I'm little. I remember it so vividly laughing. And, but I remember being young. I mean, little enough to sit in the S10 truck, barely seeing out the window. I was asked to ask dad, what's MF stand for on that tractor? You know, this is how little I was. And he just looked at me and laughed. And he's like, motherfucker, I reckon. You know, so my granddaddy had a Massey Ferguson. And I just remember my uncle, my dad's older brother was working on this tractor. My dad loves the story. He was working on this tractor. And I'm standing out there just watching him. And he's like putting a starter on or putting hydro. I don't know what he's doing. I'm little. And I just remember saying, what are you doing that motherfucking tractor? You know? And he's like, what? You know, he's like, and you know, so like we had Massey Ferguson, but it's hard to put Massey Ferguson in a damn song, you know, it don't really rhyme with anything.
Nothing
But
rhymes with that, and
yeah,
nothing
but
rhymes
you
with
get it.
motherfucker either. So either way, we're just.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's like, but you know, we had mostly just hay and deer hunting and you know, small gardens and stuff. I didn't, you know, live on this huge farm, and we actually lived about 40 minutes away up the Elk River, a little place called Cooper's Creek. My dad worked at DuPont, but that was always home, was the farm there in Mason County. Still home. It's when I say I'm going home, it's where I go. And it's just a beautiful area, West Virginia, and that's where I'm from. When I, you know, as soon as, you know, I didn't ever hang out with most people that I even went to high school with, all my cousins and friends and stuff from weekends spending with my grandparents. I was more closer to them than I was to people
Cool.
I went to high school with.
Oh, that's
So
cool.
like when I was teenagers, that's where I hung out with my cousins, and you know, and I have a song called Low on Gas that we just put out, what was it, last year, this year, whatever. And I tell people when I'm doing the songwriter rounds, I wrote that song. I don't know if it was a saying I heard. I want to say it might have come from a song back in the 90s. But we always had terms like, what are you doing? I was like, well, I'm wild and low on gas. You know what I mean? And I remember like putting $5 worth of gas in your truck, which we used to go much longer way. But me and we call him my cousin. He's a distant cousin, but we were just friends. And cousin Nate, we went up to sister's house. He's like, what are you doing? I said, you want to go drink some beer? And he said, we'll go up to sister's ponds and put some turtle lines out because turtles are biting horses and cows. So I was like, yeah, so we go to farm. I think we got some bamboo. We got some like wild bamboo growing on the creek bank of our farm. And so we cut some poles and set some turtle lines out. It's usually chicken liver on a treble hook, throw it in the pond. And a lot of people don't know, they'll bite horses' noses. And,
I actually
you know
didn't
what I
know
mean?
that. I didn't know that when you said that. I was surprised. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people want them out. That show, The Turtle Man, people call him, get turtle nose. The reason they want them out, you know what I mean? They eat all the fish, they eat whatever. But anyway, it's just something. So we went down there put out starter lines and, started off with a 12 pack. And next thing you know, we got another 12 pack. We're driving around like we're
That's how it
teenagers
goes.
again. And called my cousin, my first cousin, Cole, and wanted him to go run allowance, but he didn't answer the phone, being a little bitch. So I was like, man, drive by Cole's house. So we take all our empty cans and stuff them in his mailbox, throw beer cans in his yard. And he lived right in town. And ended up riding around. And it just reminded me of like what we used to do is like I said, just a somebody had a rusted up truck. We had nothing else to do.
It's
We'd
awesome, man.
pile in that truck and somebody buy some beer. Somebody usually had a little bit of, if you're lucky, you get some just bag of skank weed with some seeds and stems all in it, you know what I mean? And you ride around and I remember like I was telling stories like we used to hit them tracks and jump a little bit and it's like we used to just try to jump them, just dumber. Hey, well, guys in the back, you know what I mean? And so they do come from a realistic place, you know what I mean? I never had a Cheyenne truck, but like a F-150 didn't run, but like my buddy did, you know what I mean? And
Right. There's
it's
got to
like,
be some
but
sort
like
of
it,
I get it. There's got to be some
there
sort
was no,
of
and
some sort
that's,
of bending.
yeah, but there's no, like I said, there was just, I ain't never pulled in a small town back side of nowhere, North Carolina, nowhere, where they portray in these music videos like they're doing now. I just ain't never done it. You know what I mean? I've never seen, I was joking, like, it's like, yeah, you find girls dance on tailgate and Daisy Dukes, but, most of them on meth. You know what I mean? It's, and they're not like, they're not like supermodels. You know what I'm saying? They have two or three kids or whatever. You know what I mean? It's like, we come from, a rough state, like a rough place. In most backwoods places, I mean, yeah, you got your old town girl that's just, supermodel type, but like, you know what I mean? It wasn't, it ain't, that Luke
It's
Bryan,
not
I'm not
glorified
putting
like
out.
the way they make it
It's, yeah,
seem.
it's, you know what I'm saying? It's not realistic. It's not, it's not, you don't come back roads around here and everybody acts like they're black. You know what I mean? It just, and I don't know if a lot of white people know this, but black people hate that shit too.
Yeah, I
You know what I'm
mean,
saying?
for
It's
sure.
like,
I bet.
there's a word for it. You know what I mean? And it's just, we didn't act like that. You know what I mean? We didn't, it's just, and it's funny to me, like now the new style is like the, like in the mid to late 90s stripe, like pearl snap shirts tucked in with a mustache and like a little bit of mullet growing out back of your
Like a
hat.
Tracy Lawrence mullet, like a little bit of a
Yeah,
Tracy
it's
Lawrence
a
thing.
Tracy Lawrence thing. And what people don't realize is that was never cool. It was never cool. The guys that dressed like that would dress like that because our family was poor and they had to shop it at Tractor Supply, and Carhartt shit was not expensive back then. I kicked people in the ass all the time, like, for making Carhartt go up.
It's ridiculous.
You used to go to Tractor Supply to get a good warm Carhartt jacket because it wasn't expensive. It wasn't that much money, you know what I mean?
I had a
And
buddy who
then,
worked in construction for a while and he needed Carhartt stuff. And he's like, dude, this stuff is so expensive. Like, why am I buying this? I'm like, because I might have a t-shirt. That's probably all I have, right? And it was probably just
yeah.
something I found at like one of the stores or something. But the fact that I could find it here, like I'm in New Jersey. The fact that I could find it here at like a random store is telling you
Yeah.
something. But he's like, man, I need like, a pair of Carhartt jeans or something because they're tougher, obviously. And he's working in the construction yard and he's like, they're so expensive. And I'm like, yeah, because it's all those, 19, 20-year-old girls that are going out and buying Carhartt because it's like the
Yeah,
cool thing to wear. That's why.
it's man, I'm telling you, dude, it's like so there, I was thinking yesterday, I was like, it'd be cool to redo that song Country when country wasn't cool, but make it a little bit modern because I mean you'll see it, like I'll go in these clubs and it's like people are dressing like we did in high school and we weren't cool in high school. You know what I mean? Like we weren't cool back then. It was like we tried to not dress like you're like you know what I mean? It's like we tried to at least get an Izod shirt and be cool, or a pair of Guess jeans and be cool, but like, if you didn't have the money, you didn't wear the shit. So you had to wear the fucking Wranglers and the, you know what I mean? Or the Carhartt jeans or the, it never was cool. And now it's like everybody's trying to play dress up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's interesting.
But it's just a different, it's a different day and age, man.
Yeah,
But
it's a
like,
different world. Social media obviously has a ton of influence on it, and I think that's a big part of it. But I agree with you. I totally agree. Now, there's one thing I gotta say. I gotta put this out there. I think in my later years, I don't fish as much anymore. I mostly just drive the boat and row the boat, and I drink the beer and my friends fish. But as I've gotten older, when I do fish, I think I've caught more turtles than I've actually caught fish, and that's just a fact. That's just
What are
a
you
fact.
using?
I don't know why. I couldn't even tell you. This has been a few years ago, but I caught like two or three turtles in a weekend, and I was like, "What is going on here?" And like big snappers. Like I go to pull them up, I'm like, "Oh my God, I got something!" And
You
they're
know
coming out of
why,
the
right?
water. No, I have no idea.
Nobody eats them anymore.
Well, okay, that makes sense. That's why. Yeah, that
Nobody
makes sense.
hunts them and traps them and eats them, and nobody, like I said, one of my other things that I'm actually working on a degree in, and I'm just got my transcripts and stuff ready because I'm going to go back and get my bachelor's in wildlife conservation because I'm just
Nice.
interested in hunting and fishing and the field
Oh,
stuff.
cool.
But
That's
anyway,
awesome.
so
That's good
like
for you, dude. That's cool.
I'm a kind of a geek when it comes to the outdoors and
Yeah.
learning about it because I think all that makes you a better hunter and angler and everything like that too.
Yeah.
But I don't pretend to be a biologist or nothing. But yeah, no, I mean, people used to eat turtles a lot too.
Yeah.
They used to I would say about the New Jersey man. I didn't know you're from Jersey. You know, I met some redneck ass boys from New Jersey.
Oh yeah,
Like when
you
I
go
was up,
down. I'm like up by New York City, but you go down a little bit in the middle.
Oh,
Ooh.
South Jersey, yeah, just cross over from
Ooh.
PA. Yeah, oh,
Yeah,
dude,
yeah.
Doug, it's like,
Yeah.
and it's like upstate New York and stuff. We played upstate New York at a few places, man, and they freaking loved us, dude.
Oh my
I mean,
God.
just a bunch of rednecks, just a bunch of good old boys. And I hunt northern PA up the Allegheny Mountains, probably 30, 40
Nice.
minutes from New York border
Yeah,
every
nice.
year. I do public land hunting up there with some buddies of mine that we were in the war together. So we
Nice.
get together every year and do a camp. But people think like New Jersey thinks Sopranos or something like that. Like, well, it's New
So,
Jersey. Now I've been to Newark. I flew into Newark. Fuck that place.
yeah,
You know what I mean? But
yeah.
South Jersey and stuff like that is beautiful, man.
So it's
Beautiful
so
state.
funny because people don't think that, right? Now, granted, you mentioned the Sopranos. Like the Sopranos, the county that the Sopranos are based in is where I live. So like the Sopranos is where I live, right? But if you go down a little bit, like it really is a bunch of country people who live on a lot of land, and
Like the
they,
Pine Barrens.
yeah, it really is like that. And up here, since I'm so close to New York City, country music gets a lot of hate. But when you kind of go down, and there's no country music radio station. Not that it matters, but there is no radio station for New Jersey and New York, like the north of New Jersey and New York City anymore. But if you go down, there is for South Jersey, and there's a reason because when people come to town, even smaller people, trust me, I've seen it. I've gone to smaller shows where it's a 60 to 100 person room and it packs out. People want to see this stuff. It is more apparent than people think. So I'm glad you said
Dude,
that. I'm glad
I
you.
did an acoustic tour all the way up through New York State, and every venue except
Yeah.
we did one on a Sunday and it was up north. I mean, we were on the Canadian border, literally like the town border, Canadian border, whatever. I can't remember the name of town. And it was weird because we slept upstairs and it was like an old hotel they were redoing, but they only had a couple rooms done. And like I remember, we got done with the show and like four or five of us played Buck Hunter until like. It's
Nice.
like a thing of Letterkenny, you know what I mean? It was just crazy.
Yeah,
But
yeah, yeah.
there's like people that drove like an hour and a half just to get there to see us. And we just did acoustic, it was me and a guitar player. And we
Sure.
did this whole run of like for like a week. And dude, every one of them sold out.
Awesome, man.
Every one of them was
Awesome.
packed. Everyone, I mean, it was like, a lot. It was crazy.
That's cool, dude.
I'm like, how do y'all afford to even get drunk up there? I don't
Yeah, right.
understand it. Like, I
Oh my
mean, the
God,
beer
it's insane.
prices, the
Everything's
liquor
so expensive.
prices.
Oh
Oh,
my God.
yeah. And I'm but Jersey's cool because it's like the Appalachian Mountains meets the coast.
Yeah.
It really
Just gotta
is. It's
drive a
like
little
the hill
farther,
country.
yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah, there's definitely. I mean, I know bands that go up there and do the casino. We did the casino up in like Syracuse or whatever like that. We did
Yep.
not go to we weren't what they wanted to hear there. And I
Sure.
told them before they booked us, we're not going to be what you want to hear.
Yeah.
The only covers we do We do some 90s cover, most all original sets. And if we do any covers, we're going to do a couple Turnpike songs or Randy Rogers songs
Oh, that's
or
cool. Nice.
Stoney LaRue songs or something like that.
Nice.
We're not doing any other. I couldn't play more than one song if paid me. I think I might. I mean, like, not doubting him. I like a lot of his song lyrics. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Production is another thing that I just don't care about. There's no drum machines in country music. There's
I
just
agree.
not. It's
Yeah.
not. There's no. And everybody's like, "Well, who are you to make the rules?" I was like, "Man, come on, man. I
It's
mean, you
not the
can't put
rules. It's
cat
just
in the
like what you
oven.
like,
You
and it's
can't
just
put a cat.
yeah.
Yeah, you can't put a cat in the oven and call it biscuits, but it just don't work that way. You know what I mean?
Cat.
It's just, you know what I mean? So like when I hear this, and all of them's got the same beats and the same breakdowns and the same everything is fucking insane. And well, Merle Haggard's albums sound the same too. Please don't compare Merle Haggard to what's going on out there. I mean, that's just
Yeah.
sacrilegious for one thing. And but like, there's no room, in my opinion, for drum machine. If you have in Nashville, Tennessee, or Austin, Texas, or wherever you go, even New York City, for Christ's sake, there is a ton of people there that are skilled musicians that can play an instrument very, very, very well. And if you support musicians and people playing music, then you should fucking hire them to do your record
Yeah.
instead of just sitting there, one guy with a computer, and he can make all the sounds. It's so much AI bullshit that goes into this shit that, like, you can't. I mean, I tell people the song "Anymore" by Travis Tritt
Great
is a
song.
prime
One of my
example,
favorites.
right? I guarantee you, if you can sing the guitar solos.
Oh, yeah. For
I
sure.
guarantee you, in your head, you know it. Name one nowadays that you know the lead guitar part to. It's not a staple of the music.
Yeah, no, you're right. I don't think I could. I really
You
don't
see what
think I
I'm
could.
saying?
Yeah.
Name one now that has a musical instrument playing a, I'm not a music major, but like a staple part of the song, like a lead intro to the song. Like the song, you could start, it starts playing, and you're like, "Oh, that's the song,"
Right.
because of the instrumentation, because of the creativity of the people in the studio.
Like I never go around mirrors, right? Like that steel, the steel in the beginning, like you know exactly what song it is the second it starts, right? Because
It's like
doom,
sweet, I mean, the prime example, Sweet Home Alabama.
yeah.
You know what I mean? You
Come on,
hit that,
son.
everybody knows before any of the lyrics start. Anymore, you can say, you can do, I can sing the leads to a lot of Brooks and Dunn because the music was put together so much and not just for, I call it, producers are now going for what they call the white girl sway.
Yeah.
And it's a BPM that's charted out that they know hits. If you listen to all these songs, they're in a realm of a BPM, like, so many beats per minute. And it gets the white girls up front of stage, and all they can do is this. And
Then
that's what they do the
they
entire
put their
time.
white claw in the
The
air.
white claws up, and you know what I'm saying? And then it's like that's what they want. They know. Used to be we playing honky tonks and stuff like that, man. You did fast songs, and you had to. The owners would be like, "We want two slow songs per set." You know what I mean? And we want two slow songs. You had to break it down because they wanted the belly rub. And it's cool. I mean, a lot of shows we play anymore are just people up in front of stage, and if they're dancing in Texas, they leave the dance floor open a lot. And when I first started playing Texas, I was like, man, they're not packed up against the stage; they're in the side of the stage and everybody in the room. But what they're doing is leaving that dance floor because that's just a Texas tradition. You're going to leave that floor open for people to dance. And even at like big Randy Rogers shows and stuff like that, man, you'll see it. They might be packed up front stage, but there's a section people are dancing to the song.
That's cool. I
It's
always
just a
thought that was
Texas
cool.
tradition.
Yeah.
I do too, and I like it. Now, we put out a song. Me and a few buddies, Jake Sutton and Cooper Greer, some friends of mine from down here, both artists, and got bands around here, and we get together and write. But we put out one called "Dance to Heartbreak Song,"
Good song. Great
and
song.
that's what I get inspired to write certain types of songs. Like if I had to put myself in a realm of a songwriter, I'd rather be like an Eric Church or a Zac Brown.
Nice.
That can write a southern rock song, a bluegrass song, a folk song, a country song, a kind of a rock song.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm not going to just because I, like I said, we talked about the Zac Brown thing earlier, and like I said, I love the fact that he's as successful as he is, and and everything. Like, his music just don't speak to me, and I've spent hours listening to
Me
it, and
too.
it just it doesn't get me. It doesn't hit me like a John Morland
Right.
or Turnpike Troubadours or Tyler Childers lyrics. Even I was listening to him yesterday, man. I think he's Larry Fleet. Jesus Christ,
I
that guy's awesome.
love Larry Fleet. You
Oh
know, Larry
my.
Fleet was the second guest I ever had on this podcast years and years ago.
Really?
Shot, and he said yes. And Larry has a fan in me for the rest of my life. I was already a fan prior, but
So much. And like I think me and him write a lot of the same kind of. It's a little different, but we write the same. I think me and him probably are the same. Like we're from the same kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
and no, he's. I'm not comparing me to him at all. He's amazing. I've never thought up of myself that much. I'm shocked that anybody wants to listen to me. Seriously, but man, I was listening to him yesterday. I made a post like, you can listen to That's Where I Find God, not tear up. We can't
Love
be
that
friends,
song.
buddy. It's just,
Love
oh
that song.
Christ, dude. You
Did
know what I
you listen
mean?
to his newest record?
Not yet.
I
Dude, I'm
suggest you
so
listen to it.
behind. I haven't even listened to Turnpike's entire
Really?
record yet.
Well, both of them, I suggest you just start from the beginning and just listen to the whole thing. Trust me, it's amazing.
And usually I do, but I just haven't had one of those drives where I want to, dive into it. But yeah, he's amazing. Eric Church is he just puts out some amazing some. Like, you're not gonna have. There's very few artists that have a whole album of stuff that I'm like, man, the album's great. But there's very few. Usually Church is one of them. Usually Stapleton's. I mean,
I mean, best
and
generational.
Turnpike. When I listen to Turnpike, I listen to most of the album. I haven't listened to, I think I w maybe one time through. I haven't really gone back except for a few songs that I've clicked on, But it's like sometimes you'll hear them and it's like, dude, why am I even doing what I'm doing? Because I suck compared to these. You know what I mean? It's like my favorite couple albums is Limestone Kid by Parker McCollum's album.
That's the
God, man, what an
best.
extremely good
That's the
album.
best. Galveston Bay.
The second one's not bad at all. I mean, he's put out a few. He actually he didn't steal it, but I had the idea written down of that he him and another guy wrote it. They put it out. Got a Handle on You, talking
Oh,
about a handle.
yeah.
And I had that as an idea in my little song thing for like years and didn't sit on it and write it. And I was like, man, But that happens. But yeah, Larry's badass, man. I've been listening to a lot of 90s stuff, man. I went back and started dancing into Gary Allin's
How cool, dude. I love
first
Gary
couple
Allen.
albums. Yeah, dude, and just trying, like I said, take myself farther away. I couldn't tell you a song Hardy sang. I've listened to it, and God bless him, he's a hell of a songwriter.
Sure.
It just ain't, it don't connect with me
See, I like
whatsoever.
that. I like that you're recognizing that that some of these guys, like we were talking about Zach Bryan, right? Like, and I'm on the same page as you, right? And Hardy and these guys that are more modern that are doing something different than what you're doing. But you're not saying like, screw it. You're saying, oh,
No,
they're
no, no,
hell,
no.
they're incredible songwriters. They're awesome songwriters. Their music just isn't for me. And I like that you're saying that because I say that a lot about mostly other genres to people who, because most people don't listen to country music or in my inner circle. So, like, it doesn't matter to them. But other genres, they'll be like, oh, did you listen to this new song or did you listen to this new album? I'm like, no, like, I didn't. I wear, no, I really did not. Like, I listen to country music pretty much all the time. I appreciate the fact that you say, like, I think that these guys are
Well,
great songwriters. And even if their music doesn't click, because people ask me about like different genres, like, did you listen to this? Did you listen to that? And I go, no, I didn't. And I'm not saying that they're not good to you. It's just not something that I'm going to go after and chase and try and resonate with because I know it's probably not going to happen. So,
dude, I
like,
think one of the best bands out there is Shane Smith and the Saints.
oh, they're
And
awesome.
lyrically, I don't I it's amazing. I like him because he's almost writing like Metallica lyrics to like folk country Texas alt stuff. I don't know what they are. It's a bit of country, it's a bit of folk rock. But do I extremely think, man, their songs speak to me. It does. It's just very good listening, and they're so good live. But There's a guy, my buddy writes with him, Sam Hunt. It's pop country, all the shit, right? And I'll poke jabs because they play with so much backing tracks and stuff that he goes out on tour with no bass player. You know what I mean?
It's ridiculous.
And it's just not like, but I want to give him credit that he's a clever songwriter for what he's doing. Just like people love Metallica. I think James Hetfield is one of the best songwriters in the world. And I love Metallica. But just because I think people get into, oh, Bob Dylan's just a songwriter. Or Zach Brown, he's a hell of a songwriter. Or this is just a hell of a songwriter. I mean, and people write different songs. Mysterio Yvonne wrote a lot of the songs. Is he not a good songwriter? Because it's not deep and dark. And now it's this Appalachian kick, Pills and Coal Mines, and half the people singing about it aren't even from there. And think my entire genre of state or states, Kentucky, West Virginia, parts of Carolina, Ohio, whatever like that, these coal mine communities that everybody's just pill popping people that live in, this dark, mysterious place. And it's not exactly painting a correct picture. There is a poetic justice you can take in writing these it, that whole deep, dark genre of writing poetically, it stems from mountain music like that that uses the earth and the stars and the stuff to define. There's phrases that country people use that are, that are comparative to the way they talked and everything like that. And it's just, but it's not like that anymore. You know what I mean? It's not 1920s. You know what I mean? And there's a lot of people that hit the pill epidemic and mine coal. But it's not exactly all what it's about. There's very good communities. Like I said, my grandfather built a house out of nothing, an old shack, and he made it into a nice home. He never lived trashy. We never had a whole lot of money. He didn't go around boasting that, oh, we're white trash, we're redneck, we're white trash. And yet you can go to his younger, I don't even put my family out there, but man, he's got more junk cars in his yard and trash and just scrap and yard ain't maintenance and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? But we come from like, you'll pick that shit up. Even if my grandpa was a hoarder, but it was actually stacked nice. You see what I'm saying? So like, it's not just. It seems like everybody's kind of copying that style. Is what I'm saying, there's more to my state or my home than depression and pills and coal mines and sorrow. You know what I mean? There's a lot of
I think
happy
that's
times,
important to
man.
put out there. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I
So
think
I
that country
can't.
music has been very Georgia-ized recently. You know what I
If
mean?
you put out an album of nothing but sorrow and sad just songs, it's like, you know what I mean? It's
There
like,
needs to
what
be,
up, what?
that's why you have an album, though. There needs to be some sort of a mix. There needs to be.
If you're that fucking depressed that that's all you write, then God, man, you need counseling or something. Because I mean,
You
music's
gotta have a
supposed to be
mix.
about it's supposed to be a mix of emotions, love, in love, out love, leaving, loving, rotten, fighting, whatever like that. But you're not supposed to. And I think some people are so, my point is getting to it. I think some people are so like, I'm this way and I'm never going to go over this way that this is all I listen to and damn that stuff. I'm not like that, dude. There's a circle of what's in country music. Now we talked about the drum machines and stuff. There's Southern rock, there's bluegrass, there's folk music, there's Texas swing, there's Texas like rock, like your well, I mean, Wetzel's to me more rock. And Cody Cannon then was a little bit more edgy rock, but it's kind of out skirting that circle a little bit. But like, you got your 90s country, you got all these things that fit into the genre of the whole country music. But ain't none of them need to have rap in it. None of them need to have drum machines, and it's country music, not country computers, about what's going to sell the most records and what's going to. And I understand you got to sell records, but for fuck's sake, man, there's more. I just don't understand going on stage live. And we've opened up. I'm not going to, even some of my friends that I've opened up for that are good friends of mine that I've had relationships before they were famous with, you know what I mean? That are on the top of the charts, on top of their game right now. I'm not going to say who, but they come on and they're not even playing their own acoustic guitar. And the drummer's hitting a pad and it's starting the beats off like that. And then he comes in later and there's, you hear an orchestra and you hear, you know, if we got our fiddle player, then we have five pieces. We got a four piece and we got four piece. You learn to play, you play live music. It's live music. It's music. I mean, if you're going to, well, it saves money that way. Well, then just fucking go by yourself. Sing karaoke.
If you can't
What
afford all the
do,
members of the band, don't. You know what I mean? It's
I
just
just don't understand how it got. I don't understand how it got to the point where it doesn't matter if you're good or not. We can just play CD behind you, and it's going to sound exactly like the album because nobody cares. And I'm going to charge $250 a ticket for half my guys aren't even playing, and nobody wants to recognize it. Nobody wants to say, like, I guarantee you, when the Dixie Chicks played, whether you like them or not, they're playing. You know, and
You're
I
right.
know I wrote with one of Eric Church's guys, and they use it between interludes. Like if they're changing guitars, they have a like a some backing tracks playing during the interludes of songs, but when they're playing, they're playing. John Party's the same way, man. His band's live, you know, or it was when we did shows with him. like I said, I've done shows with him around. He's a nice guy, but I'm telling you right now, half of the guys aren't playing.
No, they're not. They're really not. I've seen
They're
them
not playing.
multiple times. They're
And
not.
it's
You as music fans, I think we hate to see that happen because there's so much talent out there that's not being shined through. So when it does,
Yeah.
and they're not as talented as some other people, it kind of sucks. And I think that's
Yeah.
kind of what we're getting at here. It's like there's so much out there. And I was saying this last night, dude. I was like, man, I was talking to a few buddies, and I was like, guys, like if you just dig a little deeper, like you'll find something you like in the genre if you don't already like it.
Yeah, yeah,
Like
yeah.
you just gotta dig. Like there's so much talent out there. There are so many people that are so talented. You just have to look for them. You have to be wanting to find them, and you'll find them. They're out there. You're gonna find the ones that you like, right? You don't know how many people I talk to on a daily basis that say, yeah, country music's whatever, but Tyler Childers is great. Or, well, I should say it the way they say it. But Tyler Childers is great, right? And I'm like, oh my God, Jesus Christ. And they're like, well, do you know that one album by him that has Feathered Indians on it? I'm like, yeah, it's like one of the greatest things that anyone as a project has written
It's
in a
in my
long
opinion,
time. Like,
it's one of the best albums of all time.
it's just so good. Like it's
Yeah.
absolutely ridiculous. So like to be able to and like that's what I'm saying is like if you are a fan of some sort of music, right? And you think you might like some sort of country music, go and do a little bit digging. Like if you think you like Tyler Childers, then dig past
Yeah,
that because you're gonna
go on
find something that
Spotify.
you love.
Yeah, go on Spotify and click Tyler Childers Radio.
That's it. That's it.
You
Because
know
you're
what I
gonna
mean?
find actually talented people. You know what I
Yeah,
mean?
you're gonna find, and but like I said, I don't like Kane Brown's music. Me and him got along great. He's nice. We did like three shows with him, man. He's one of the nicest guys you'll ever freaking meet. You know what I mean? He's
But you
no
don't have
matter
to
if
like
he's
everything. That's important, right? Like you don't
no,
have to. So,
that's what I'm saying. Like people, I'm not gonna be one of these artists that as soon as because I get it, man. These listening rooms and stuff like that to book all these acts is like people want us there, but they won't book us because they think I'm too mainstream.
sure. Which is ridiculous, by
I
the
don't
way.
fit.
But
It's ungodly ridiculous.
no offense, dude. You're jacked, have tattoos all over the place. You have a beard, ride a motorcycle, and you play some of the rocking music I've ever heard. You know what I mean? Like, if that's mainstream, I don't know what's
I
going on.
haven't ridden my motorcycle in like 3 years. I'm not gonna lie, man. My dad rides and I can ride. But people scare the shit out of me on it. And that, and I've got youngins and like. If I run my own business, I play music live for a living. I've got guys that count on me for bookings and stuff like that. And there's been so many close calls and stuff like that for that people just don't pay attention. And if I wreck it, it's not when you're gonna wreck, it's you're gonna wreck. And I can't, I mean, it's not, I work for myself. I can't draw, disability for 6 months while my leg heals or my face heals from a motorcycle wreck. So I'd love to ride a lot more than I do, but it's, you gotta be cautious on it. But,
So I don't ride
yeah, I
when I
would,
get too nervous.
yeah, dude, I'm telling you, they
Especially with the drivers
they
here, you have no idea. You have
well
no
that
idea.
and that and I'm one of these guys that like saying you get on something with power on it, you're like, oh, let's see what this son of a bitch will do. And
I'm like that too.
I ain't good enough to control my urges yet. You know what I mean? Like, I
Yeah.
mean, you can take, but yeah, so I'm not a biker. I wouldn't say I'm a biker. I've got a Harley, but my dad actually gave me one of his, and he gave it to me for one of my birthdays, man. I was sitting there and he redone this bike, and I'm gonna keep it because of that, and I'm gonna putt around on it when I can. But
Sure.
like, I'm not a hard, I would not say. I grew up around bikers all my life, and it's definitely part of my identity because I grew up in it, man. I can tell you right now, we was roughing our house as a kid. My dad worked at DuPont up the road, and that's when the outlaw bikers were still prevalent. My dad knows him. He's not an outlaw biker, but he rides with a group. But I mean, anyway, so like one of the, we had like two guys that were in the Pagans of that chapter, helped roof our house and stuff like that. And then one of them
Wow.
was my buddy's uncle. You know what I mean? It's like, so like, it's kind of a thing we've been around, that whole Sons of Anarchy thing. When it came out, I was like, yeah, that's not a real biker. And most of them are great guys. They're just outlaws. You know what I mean? I've run into them when I used to bounce at strip clubs and everything. And just, they got their thing going, stay out of, but yeah, I've never been like my dad. He'll ride coast to coast. He's rode to Alaska two or three times,
That's
rides to
so
Canada all
cool,
the time.
dude.
He's a fucking biker. And
That's cool.
so I always, like, he wore cowboy hats and Wranglers and wallet chains and that, he's yeah, I've been around it. And I got to start getting tattoos, and unbeknownst to my mother, she was like, yeah, I want all them tattoos. I was like, I don't know if you notice this, but like, her dad, my grandpa on that side, covered in tattoos. He was a World War II vet. He's a badass guitar picker and country singer. And I was like, I'm just following suit. You know what I mean? I always thought it was cool. And
Was that a
she,
military thing for you? Did you do that in the army?
same. I started getting a few. I mean, like I said, man, I grew up broke. You couldn't have, but like, there's a difference between, a lot of people like, mom, dad, help me get my first car. Nah. That's good work, save money, and get your first. We didn't have money. I mean, we did okay. You know what I mean? And there's a lot of love. I'm not, I mean, grew up eating off dirt floors, but like, there wasn't a lot of
Car
like,
giving.
what I mean, it's like I said, there wasn't a lot. Yeah, we're not, they helped as much as they could, but like, yeah, there's no co-signing. I'm gonna go, we're gonna get you. My daughter's got a nicer car. Than I ever had when I was her age, you know what I'm saying? And but no, I mean, my first ride was 73 CJ5 Jeep, I think,
That's awesome,
one of my
dude.
first. Yeah,
That's so
then I got an
sick.
old beat up Toyota Tacoma, and I had F-150s, and I had S-10s and Ford Rangers and all. I whatever I could get. Now I'm older. I've got a brand new. This thing keeps falling. I've got a brand new. That's a few years old. I've got a F-250. Oh. F-250,
Nice.
trying to fix this, sorry dude.
You're good.
But that's building credit and doing the right thing, paying your bills on time to get the shit you need, and I don't really need it, but oh, I do need that pull
But you
trailer,
want it.
but
Sometimes it's important
no,
to
I mean,
just pass it through, right?
I had the diesel, I had a 350 for that. I've got to use one. I had drove it around for years, and I need something. If my van breaks down, I can still haul guys in and pull trailer. And then there are sometimes we hook up to, we're hauling stuff around the farm that I hook up to, and camper trailers and all that stuff. So yeah, it's needed. It's just not a day-to-day need. I've got some new things. I think this year I'm gonna be putting out more of the, like, the WV radio. I think we're gonna do, I'm going up in February to record some more. Because like I said, I was one of the first artists on. I was the first artist on that channel. And
Nice.
Draven, a good friend of mine, man, we try to plan a fishing trip every year, and he came to me with this thing he had, man. I'm gonna do this thing. I said, do it, man. I don't know nothing about YouTubes and stuff. And then about 3 or 4 years later, he's got the number one song on iTunes with Oliver Anthony. And he's what's the dude who's going around, he opened for Sacra a lot. I can never get Charles Wesley
Sam.
Godwin.
Yeah,
Charles
Charles,
Wesley
yeah.
Godwin was on there. There's another guy that was on there that's blowing up,
Yeah,
a
he's a
guy out
West
of
Virginia guy.
Cincinnati. He's, yeah, I think he might be from West Virginia. I'm not
I think he
sure.
might be.
And he's another, I love his voice. And I can listen to him. It's not one I go keep constantly going back to. But I'm more, I always find myself diving right back into it, no matter what, because I've got a song called Wildflowers. And of course, that's
Right.
your more what people call, oh, it's like Tyler Childers. No, it's Appalachian folk music. It's called Appalachian folk music. I am from, born and raised in the mountains of West Virginia. My mom, her family all picked bluegrass. There was six, seven part harmonies, fiddles, mandolins, banjos, guitars played, bluegrass, gospel all my life. When the kids run around the yard, their sisters and cousins were all on the porch picking bluegrass and playing folk music. I mean, it was instilled in me to the point I hated it, you know. So every so often, I'm going to write a folk song because it's out. It just comes, it's, I'm hearing it, you know. So Wildflowers came out. That actually made a grassroots playlist with Tyler Childers and with all the stuff
Cool.
like that. And I'm sure when people clicked on it and the next song they heard was With Me Now, you know, about getting high on the tailgate of a truck, they're like, this is not folk music, you know. It's like, but yeah, I'm going to write whatever I feel like writing, but I always tend to kind of stay. And if you ask me what I am, I would say I'm more in the realm of, I mean, a lot of people, my past three singles have made Country Texas charts. Now,
Yeah.
Country Texas now on Spotify.
Right.
We play Texas a decent bit, breaking through to the bigger clubs. We've opened up for Randy Rogers, Wade Bowen, Stoney LaRue. We've done shows with Parker McCollum.
But those Texas guys is kind of where you sit, where I think that like you find yourself, which is great. Like I think that you want to be involved with those guys, but
I do. I mean, I love the. I've been a huge Red Dirt Texas fan, and simply because I was hearing albums back in the day. I heard a Robert Earl Keen album live at Floor's Country Store,
Nice.
and I'm like, it's packed, and he's just crowd is chanting all these songs I've never heard. I'm like, how is this possible?
Yeah.
But he's playing a full set of his music that's not on the radio, and everybody loves
Yeah.
it. And so I steered 100% from what I was trying to do right to that. I was like, all right, I can't move to Nashville. You know, when I got back from Iraq, my daughter was born. I wasn't gonna leave her, even though I had some legitimate stuff going on there.
Yeah.
But it wasn't legitimate to pay bills and not be a deadbeat dad. So I was like, no, I'll just stay here. So the only option I had was, okay, I'll play these clubs, and between these covers, I'm gonna start playing my own shit. And I start feeding these covers out like that. And you know, it took a few years, and next thing you know, people started singing back to one or two of my songs. And now, you know, we're not, like I said, we draw pretty good most places, and you look out and there's people singing my tunes. And that
That's awesome, dude.
I'm shocked that I'm here, to the fact that I go to a bar like we played. I played a Wednesday night acoustic in Sam Houston, Texas, at a place called Do-Si-Do. And it was just a stop in because we was on our way down to San Antonio anyway on Wednesday night, and I sold 25 tickets at a coffee house, and every fucking one of them people in Sam Houston, Texas knew every word to every song I ever wrote. And I was like, all right, this is cool.
That's got to be the coolest thing, right? Like you
It
for a guy that didn't go to Nashville to chase the dream and made the adult decision to be a father and to also pursue your dream from where you are, like to be able to successfully do that from West Virginia, like that's got to show you and anyone who's listening that no matter where you are, you don't need
Well,
everyone. You can do it yourself if you want to.
I will tell, well, I'm in North Carolina now. I've been in North Carolina for the past 20 years, probably. But I mean, home's West Virginia. I'm back home doing stuff with dad on the farm or my uncles and stuff. And it's usually, we got a guy or friend that cuts all the hay and stuff, but we do the bush hogging and trees fall. But mostly we're just moving tree stands around. We'd like to deer hunt it, turkey hunt it, you know what I mean? And, fixed old house up or whatever. We just put a floor up in there and stuff like that. But I tell the young guys, and I'm not trying to sound, I couldn't go to Nashville. I couldn't move to Austin. I just couldn't. It wasn't in my stars to do. I didn't have a great relationship with my oldest daughter's mother. Once we split, there was no way I was going to leave her behind to be that selfish for myself. So I worked welding, doing hydraulic work, welding. And I remember driving 2 hours to play a show, get done, pack up gear, haul ass home, drop the trailer, and go right to work. You know what I mean? And so I tell these young guys, it's like, they're like, man, I want to get where you're going. And I guess it's weird to me because a lot of, you know, I'm not old, but I've been in the game a while. But the young 21, 22-year-old bucks coming up that, you know, they're around ECU or NC State or wherever we're playing. They come up, man, I want to do what you, I want to get a band, I want to do what you do. And I'm like, all for that. But I'm like, they're
It's
like,
hard.
what should I do? And I was like, you got kids? You got family? Well, I got a good job. So good jobs are everywhere. Everybody's hiring. You don't need, I was like, go right now, get in your truck, go home, get your shit, and move to Austin and move to Nashville. And they just look at me. Well, you're not. I'm like, but it's not
Just not part of your story.
impossible. It's not impossible, dude,
Yeah.
but must be present to win. You know what I mean? You're going to have more opportunities. I mean, because like I've got a, you know, some stuff going on in Nashville. I write in Nashville. I record in Nashville, and I go to Nashville for meetings all the time. But I have to plan that around what I'm doing. And there's a lot of times, man, hey, can you get down here? I can't get down here. I got a show. Well, guarantee you one thing, man. If I'm not at that meeting, they're getting somebody else to get to. You know what I mean? Now it's working out kind of my favor because people are seeking after me. And man, this guy's got his streaming pretty well. He's got some followers. You know, let's see what this is about. Blah blah. But you know, I've had the pub deals offered, didn't take them because they just weren't right for the time. I wanted a tour, and being contracted to write so many songs a month is cool, but I like going down there a few days at a time, getting some writes in. I'm still writing with different guys. I write with pubs, you know, Baylen Wire, my song. I wrote with Brenly Addington,
Nice.
Joe Hyde, Mike Walker. Brenly's got like three, four number one hits. Mike Walker's got two, three number one. Joey's got a couple number one. So I'm writing with guys on an occasional basis that I can message, hey man, whenever you got feel free, I can pick up a write with, and I can write with this pub, and I can write with this pub, and I can write with this pub. So there's no point in me, you know, there was just no point of me signing a
Locking
deal
yourself
that
in.
didn't, it didn't pay all that much for me to be on the road 1 week, come home, be home a couple days, then go to Nashville, write for a week, then come home, be on home for a few days, then go to, you know, I just, it was just too much. So I was like, I'd rather play live than the pub deal. This year we're going to do shows, but I'm going to concentrate on, it's like I said, the economy. So we were talking about earlier, the economy, the road is not what it used to be. The road doesn't give you what you need out of it anymore. Anyway, it's a hell of a way to build fans. But my, I tell guys, man, how you get Texas? Like, dude, you don't draw locally yet. You know what I mean? You don't draw locally yet. You know, you're not packing the bars in your region out. Get that started first. But I tell them all, get in your truck, no holds barred, hug your mama goodbye, and go to Nashville. It's there's not an artist out there that, even a Texas artist, that they don't use Nashville for what they need them for, because it's the place where it happens.
It's the machine. It makes sense. It works.
Whether you're a Texas artist, all of them have record deals with Nashville.
It works.
Randy, Parker, Co. All of them have, but the thing is, they built Texas's. So if you blow up in Texas, they hold your own. So you have a little bit more of leeway to say, this is the way we do it. This is, I mean, I'm making enough money in Texas. I don't need you like Cody Johnson did. He didn't need Nashville. He did not need them.
He did not. I've been
And
listening to Cody Johnson for over 10 years. He did not need Nashville.
his record deal shows that. You know what I
Yeah,
mean?
it
Cody's
does.
going to do what Cody's going to do. And so, but that again, that's few and far between, because there's a lot of artists. There's a lot of competition in Texas. There's a lot of camaraderie, but there's a lot more hatery down there than I thought there would be. And the best thing you can do is, in from Texas standpoint, whether people call you a Texas artist or not, I'm not from there, and I'll never claim to be from Texas. The people down there do love us, and I love going to play for them. But I'm not going to sit there and say I'm Texas country. I'm Texas. I'm not. I'm from West Virginia, live in North Carolina. I'm a country artist, and I tend to lean towards more of the '90s kind of sound. I like using live instruments in a studio, and I tend to go away from the trends that are happening now. If it trends back into the way, I mean, like I said, I don't know. Why it's such a hatred line. Like you said, there's a line that people just don't want to cross. Well, there's artists in the middle of that. I mean, you can't tell me that, like, Luke Combs ain't got a good album.
I mean, he does.
He does.
He's got a great
You
album.
can't tell me John Party's. I mean, there's a few songs that he crossed that I was like, yeah, it's a little bit too much of that. but he's got songs that I definitely love or great
Some of his
country
deep
songs.
cuts are insane. Some of his deep
Yeah,
cuts are ridiculous.
there's so many artists, you know. I even have a line in a song that I write, and I'm stuck in the middle between Nashville and Texas, just trying to stay in my lane. You know what I mean? And because of that, Cody Johnson's blowing up on the radio. Is he not? Is he not? Is he now Nashville? No. You know what I mean?
No.
So the whole
But
thing
he's
is like,
country music, that's for sure.
I guarantee you, Zach Brown is signed with a label. Now he blew up where he can say, this is what I'm going to do. You want to sign me? And that's the great part about Zach Brown. He didn't have to do that. You know what I mean? I just try to make music that I think is good, that I think sounds good, and that I think can resonate with people. And I've been, I look at how many people aren't streaming me more than I do. Man, I've got 3 million some streams on NKMU, or I've got a couple million on Spotify on With Me Now, and I've got a million or something on Mama Didn't Listen on iTunes. But I see, like, man, I want 50 million on it. You know what I
Yeah,
mean?
it's always growing. You always want to grow, and you want to
Well,
move
that,
up.
and that's what I'm saying. We're changing lanes now because I've done that with no record label, no management, no. I mean, everything we've done ourselves, dude, 100% in-house. Nobody. I've never paid to be on a Spotify playlist. I've never paid money for ads for anything but shows, like, locally. I've never. But now I'm like, okay, I need management, so I'm in talks. We got something going on with some friends of mine that I really trust. I've had talks with management before, and all of them like, well, we got to get this up. We got to do TikTok, TikTok, TikTok. I'm like, look, man, I'm out here making 200K or more a year as a business, which ain't a lot of money when you got four or five guys. You know what I mean? But as a business, just the band, we're doing pretty fucking good. You know what I mean? But it's a lot of hustle and a lot of sacrifice. So I'm not going to put any more. I'm invested. You see what I'm saying? So that when I'm met with managers and labels and stuff, I'm invested. What are you bringing? And they don't like that straight up talk. They want somebody to, oh man, I'm going to get a deal. I'm going to get a deal. Yeah, but a fucking shitty deal is way worse than no deal. And I've seen so many artists go in there and sign these deals, and that, 'cause I've, for I book artists at the venues here. Some of One of them, I'm the main booker, but we find, I work with another guy. One club owner has like four or five clubs, and we book these venues. I only handle the one, but I help with the others too in some capacity. But like, I've had so many artists that are blowing up that, like, oh, they're not booking the buck anymore because they've signed with CMA or they've signed with WMA or whatever booking agency. And I look at them, they're not playing nowhere.
No, they're
It's
not.
like, so your big deal got you nothing,
Which is so
because
odd, but I mean.
you're not known enough, you don't have enough streams, and nobody's going to pay the price that booking agency wants to pay for you to come in there and do 90 minutes of music that nobody's heard of.
And
So
that's the
you
TikTok
jumped on
world.
a
That's what that
deal.
is.
Yeah, you jumped on a deal before you had any kind of fan base. You know what I mean? And now you're stuck. So I've been
The
very
TikTok
cautious
world,
of
my
that.
friend.
Yeah, well, like I said, some of these people ain't big on TikTok. They just sat, they jumped at the first thing. Here's how Nashville works, and from my eyes. Okay, everybody goes to college for some kind of musical shit, right? They're musical management, artist management, whatever, whatever, whatever. So there's four or five guys that went to whatever college is down in Nashville for this music management. They grew up around Nashville, so they get it. So one goes to work for Spotify, one goes to work for Apple Music, one goes to work for YouTube, one goes to work for this label, one goes to work for this management team or pub team, and they all work in cahoots together, right? That's how it works. So unless the guy who went in artist management finds you, your chances of getting on that Spotify playlist are null and fucking void, because he's going to get people he's managing on that playlist because his buddy manages the shit out of Spotify. You see what I'm saying? It's so must be present to win is what I'm saying. Must
Yeah,
be
because
present to win. I'm not saying
and it
I've
goes
had
back to
guys
the
help me
old,
out in
like, you
that,
gotta know who you know. You
yeah.
gotta know
And
some.
it it's but that's bottom line is, and these guys, most of them I've met aren't players, aren't musician talented. Their dad was in business, and they're, you know, so they go on, oh my God, this guy's cranking out on TikTok. He's blowing up. All right, well, look at his. There's another guy, great guy. I'm not gonna mention his name because he's an awesome guy. I like the guy a lot. He's like a TikTok stud, right? He got famous on TikTok for doing these mashups, right? And I apparently got a deal. My producer's done some work with him and stuff like that. But like his TikTok views compared to his streams, now some of songs streams way more than mine have. But for the millions he's got on TikTok versus the number of streams on his originals are like so incomparable that like, man, like, so what do you do next? That's your thing that you got to go live and do mashups. That's what people want to see you for. Now they're not the attention span, what we're talking about, attention span. I want to see you do mashups. It's like nobody wants to hear Afro Man's new album. They want to hear Colt 45 because that's kind of music that he put out. You see what I'm saying? It's kind of a thin line to where, you know, I got a friend that blew up on TikTok, Priscilla Block. You know, love her to death. She's a nice person. We've done shows together. She's blown up great. And then she got a record deal on it and stuff like that. And but I know 10 more that did the TikTok deals like that and never had no success after they signed a deal.
Yeah, it
So
happens.
because it happens more than it, you know what I'm saying? So I'm not gonna sit there and I've never been one to like, you know, look at myself on the phone and do
Everyone's
all this.
success is their own story, and I think that's
Yeah, dude, I
important.
just
Although I
I'm
just
not
think
that.
that like there's some, you got to recognize the hard work where it's being shown, right? Like we've been
But
talking
the
about this for the last few weeks for some reason where we'll talk about the fact that, you know, just because they're great on social media, Craig Campbell actually did something really great. This is what I'll mention. Craig Campbell put out a video about how he did like a POV of like talking to a record label executive and how they were telling him like quote unquote like, oh, he's just signed these three new TikTok artists and they're great, blah blah blah. And then he goes, oh, well, where have they played before? And they're like, oh, they haven't. So like that's where a
Yeah,
lot of it
dude,
is, right? Like you do get a lot of those guys who just sing to their phone and they don't ever know how to play in front of a
I've seen
crowd,
it.
and then
I've
that's where
seen it.
you.
I've seen it firsthand.
I bet. I bet.
The guys and take this with a grain of salt because I'm my own worst critic. And like I said, I'm shocked that anybody wants to listen to anything I've ever put out.
You're fantastic. I don't know why you think that, dude, but.
Well, I mean, I just think that being a douchebag is just it's been done before, but I'm a confident songwriter, and I still have yet to think I've wrote a great song. But that's what you need to keep writing and try to find a good song. You know what I mean? But there, you'll hear a song like Larry Fleet, and you're like, "Damn, I suck so bad." You know what I mean? And but like, if you just think you're shit, and then you're not trying to. So like, but I have one of my good friends, Dave Finley, is one of the best fucking singers
Oh, he's
of.
so good, dude.
He's so damn good, man, and I
So
love the dude
good.
to death. We were really good friends, man. And like, so when people say, "Man, you sing your ass off," I'm like, "Have you heard this guy?" I mean, you know what I mean? So that's where, like, that, you know what I mean? Like, I don't. Have you heard Alan Stone sing? My God, that's a singer. I'm not a singer. I sound like Garth Brooks. You know, it's like, but there's a fine line. But I've watched these guys that had a song go up on TikTok perform live. Because they didn't come up in the ranks, they ain't been playing,
It's a
but that's what I'm
muscle. You
saying.
got to
So
grow it.
okay, well, what do we do? We just put backing tracks behind them, and then you got all these videos of people coming out that got they can sing, but they just ain't sung live, and they don't know what it's like to be able to breathe on stage, or maybe your in-ears aren't right, or maybe the room's echoey, and maybe you've got to be professional and play through all that shit. You know, nothing's ever perfect. Live music, nothing's ever perfect. And being there's been songs my inner's gone out and I finished the show,
But
and
that's
that
because
comes
that's
from
because you've gone through the ranks, you've done it. So that's important.
Yeah, the people I want to go see, I know are most likely going to put on the best live show. I've seen
Right.
bands like, Randy Stokes. You can tell he's been on tour a while, and he's, but like that's part of it. I mean, I remember seeing Charlie Daniels one time. That's back when he had Taz, his long, short Mexican keyboard player. It's like World of Sir Amp caught on fire. They kept playing through it, laughing. It had been so cool if it happened to the Devil Went Down to Georgia, but it wasn't. It was like Trudy or something, one of my other dudes. All the shit was good. But it literally caught on fire, but it was working. And they just doused it with a fire extinguisher, and it kept working. It was like a World Sir amp that they use for the organs and stuff. It caught on fire mid show, and they all just kept, nobody panicked, but they just kept fucking playing.
It's insane.
And
It's insane.
it, you know what I mean? And I was like, yeah, no, that's the thing. No matter what, show must,
Go on.
this year I'm concentrating more on your visuals. Like, we're going to do a lot of studio acoustic, maybe studio band live stuff,
Nice.
like Sturgill with the beer cans and stuff.
Cool,
We're going,
dude. Cool.
that's what I'm going to concentrate more on this year doing as far as my art and putting out and writing the album. I've got a ton of stuff that, but like being on the road, so you're making money streaming, you're making money being on the road, you're making money in all aspects of what I'm doing to make money. But the past 2 years has taken its toll as far as just keeping everything on the road, because miles on a van, transmissions, engines, trailers getting fucked up, equipment getting fucked up, to the fact that the art's not, the commerce of the art's not paying for itself. So you got to dip into other parts of your fucking commerce to pay for just one lane of it. That then it takes away from, I'm like, damn, man, I'm making money streaming and I'm doing pretty good, but I'm only putting out three or four songs a year when I could be putting out full albums. Because I'm spending this money on this, and I want to do these videos where people can see me virally that don't get to come to shows. Because where we're at is like, we don't have a fan base just in one spot.
Yeah, it's all over.
We might have 100 people in Dallas, and maybe 200 people in San Antonio, and maybe when we played North Dakota, people knew us, but it was,
Yeah, cool.
50 people knew who the fuck we were out of 400. So it's all spread out, and getting to them full band is. It's hard to do because you're not going to sell out theater. You're not going to make enough money on the road to do it, but I can do it solo. So this year I was going to announce that I'm going to probably go more solo act than full band, so I can get to these places and do the listening rooms and try to get out there doing that stuff and still make the fans and still make the living and do, we're still do the festivals and we'll do the openers if I get on with people and stuff like that. And, my plan is to, I've been offered this management deal. So if that works out the way it's supposed to, then hopefully I'll be jumping on tour with
Awesome.
a few little bigger artists and getting out to more fans to help it grow. 'Cause I feel like we're definitely at a, not a standstill, but we're at a plateau that we got to start climbing this next
Yeah,
peak
sure.
up to get us out there. And I think the spot I've been ignoring has been the video side of, not TikTok, but just the video side of it,
The
of
visual
putting
content.
out stuff that, yeah, the visual content. I don't have very much at all, and because I'm such a I'm not into myself, man. I'm just like, I
You're not
hate, I
vain.
clam up doing the voice. I remember when I went to do the voice, I never, bottom line, I've told this on other podcasts, I didn't see the voice and say, man, I want to go do that. I was like, that's the stupidest shit ever. I don't know if I can do that type shit. And but I got an email one year, something about Trout. Well, I deleted it. And then like the next season I got another one. Hey, we'd like you, we our talent scouts have found you, we'd like you to come. And it was like, so I remember sending back, and I was probably high at the time, I was up writing or sending emails trying to book or whatever. So I typed back and said, no, thanks. I don't want to stand in line for 4 hours and sing 45 seconds of a song. Because before that, years ago, I got talked into trying out for Nashville. Was it
Nashville Star, whatever it's called.
Miranda Lambert, Nashville Star. So I went to Charlotte and I stood in line like all day and I sang 45 seconds of a song to be told no.
Yeah, same.
And I was like, this ain't for me. You know what I mean? So they're like, they hit me back, no, you don't understand. It's a private audition. You're scheduled for an audition. You don't have to stand in line, blah, blah, blah. You pick the time and place you want to go to Nashville. I was like, can I think about it? And they're like, yeah, sure. Just let me know. And so I talked to people and they're like, go do it. Go do it. What can hurt? I was like, all right, fuck it. I'm not going. I did it basically telling people that I'm not going to make the show. They don't pick guys like, what I mean? I'm not going to make this fucking show. And I say all this and I never watched it. You know what I mean? The clips I did watch of it, I was like, it's so stupid. So like I go to Nashville and my buddy, one of my best friends, goes with me. We get a hotel downtown, like on the Bumbrian Street there. And he's like, hey man,
Keith Urban's playing right around the corner at Exit Inn. I was like, that's wrong. Keith Urban ain't playing Exit Inn. You know? He's like, it's a pop-up show. Well, I just happen to be friends, lifelong friends with Keith's band leader and bass player, and he's a hell of a songwriter himself, Jerry Flowers. His mom used to babysit. We just known him all our life through church, and just my mom and her, his mom are best friends. And I always looked up him and his brother. They're great musicians. So I text him. I said, hey, man, y'all playing Exit Inn tonight? He's like, yeah. He's like, you in town? I was like, yeah. He's like, I'll leave some tickets at the door. So we go. It's a pop-up show with him, Keith Urban, and Kelsey Ballerini.
Oh, that's cool.
It's like freezing outside. And we just happened to go, and there's a parking spot literally right in front of the building.
Wow.
And it is frozen. It's like January. There's a line around the building. We walk up, tell the lady at the door her name. She gives us tickets. We go on inside. I talk to Jerry for a little bit. We got like right up, he's stage access. We're right by the little stage. Cool. Kelsey Ballerini comes out, is talking to us. We're talking to Keith, you know, and Alan, my buddy's like, he's like, this is a sign, man. You're going to make the voice. I was like, you know, he's thinking it's all. So I go the next day, and I remember going in, I wasn't nervous at all. I was like, I'm going to go in and do these cover songs they want to sing. And it's ridiculous. You got to stand in this little square and sing, and then one you play on. And I go in, I look around, and there's cameras everywhere. And man, I shut down. I'm nervous as fuck then. You know what I mean? And I start singing it, man. I was doing One Number Away by Luke Combs, which I usually fucking slay that song, you know. And I was like, I could feel my voice shaking. And I was like, the guy's like, stop me 30 seconds in. I was like, yeah, I fucked this up. He's like, I can tell you're nervous. I was like, I wasn't until I seen the cameras. He's like, well, just LA loves your look and everything. We're going to put you through to the next thing. So just sing me the fucking song. Mm-hmm. He calmed me down. I sang the song. And I went to walk out. He's like, no, you got to do the other two, even though they told me I was through. Then you do a video around, and then this executive callbox or whatever. And I'm like, okay, I made it through that. I'm not going to get a call back. I get a call back. You got to be in LA next. I was like, what the fuck is going on, man?
Insane.
So I go and do the thing and, you know, make it to the battle rounds or something. I get hit off the show after that. There's some more story to that I won't dive into. I've already covered on other podcasts. It was just not for me. And yeah. It was a fun experience that I met through there. Dave Finley, Cam Marlowe. A good friend, Kalen Garner, who introduced me to my producer, Eric Torres, who's produced Jimmy Allen. And Eric's produced like three to four number one hits. And said he'd like to work with me. And I said, well, one thing I want to get out of this, I want to get a good album. So I spent the money. It's like 14, 15 grand to go down and do a 6-song EP.
Yeah.
But, hey, I want to do it with a good producer, good musician and everything. We put out that EP. And then it kind of became where people, you know, oh, you were on The Voice. You were on The Voice too. Man, you're Mikael Buck. I love that song.
That's so good.
So I disconnected myself of that shit as quick as possible. Because I was like, I've seen people on The Voice that ain't doing shit. And I'm still not doing shit compared to what you think being on a show like that. But I never had expectations that show was going to elevate my career because we already had a following before that.
Right,
you know
right.
What I mean, I didn't see my following change much until I started putting out better records, better songs, and doing that way. So that's how it led to that. So when people ask me about that show, it's like the night it aired, dude, I didn't watch it. Steelers were playing the Ravens. You know what I mean? And I was in the kitchen. They're like, you're on. I'm like, man, we're driving. You know, I was like, I was there.
We're busy. I did it.
And plus we TiVo'd or whatever. I said, I watched it. You know, I thought the story they did for my buddy that, you know, did the soap. I mean, he committed suicide when he came home, and I brought attention to the light to that instead of myself. Thought it was perfect, but they, you know, the more farther I went into it, they wanted me to keep talking about Iraq, and I was like, I ain't doing it. You know what I mean? You can just send me home. I don't care about the show enough to let all my personal feelings and everything out about that stupid ass war that I was in a long time ago. And so, I mean, they had me so bummed out there. I probably shouldn't say this now, but it's past contract. But I remember being up to 4 a.m. and man, they really put me in a bad spot trying to talk about that shit. I didn't want to talk about it. And so I sat up and I wrote the song Irish Road.
Wow.
It's on the first record about it's my poetic, and it's real, but a lot of people have to ask me what that song's about. They love the song, and it's about Route Irish in Iraq. You know what I mean? It's about our job was IED sweeping. We went and found bombs on the side of the road trying to get rid of them. So convoys could get through. And so being in that place helped me get that song out, and then definitely made the album. And I've been with Eric ever since producing. But you brought up did you bring up a minute ago
Craig Morgan?
Yeah, so we did the Nashville song, and I've done 3-4 shows with Craig in the past, and he's a great guy, man.
Yeah,
one of the best shows you can go to. I mean, the guy's an incredible musician. He's awesome. On a hell of a show. He just kind of had his Nashville success, and they didn't. I mean, he's still Craig Moore. He's still doing a great job, but I think he's doing most of it alone. But so we put out that Nashville song on W Radio, and Craig just messaged me out of the blue and says, "Hey, man, let me produce that."
It's cool.
Yeah. And I'm like, "Hey, shit. Yeah, man." I said, "I've opened for you a couple times. I don't remember." He's like, "Yeah, I remember you." I was like, "Well, I mean, there's a lot
of." Yeah, he's a great guy. So, he's a great guy, and he's super honest, and he's really authentic. Like,
that was
the guy
that he brought his brand new bow out. He was shooting in his bow in the stadium, and I was like, "Damn it, man, I wish I'd brought mine." You know, we started talking about bows and stuff, and then sent him a message. He didn't kill nothing this year. He said he didn't get to hunt a lot this year, but yeah. So I don't know how serious he is. He wants to produce that song for me, so I'm thinking about going down there and let him do it. You know what I mean?
Do it, man. That's awesome. Yeah, what a credit that would be. You got to look at that, and that's what you see. Yeah, it'd be awesome.
I think he's awesome, man. I love that "Outskirts of Heaven" song, and man, he does one of the best versions of Mos Tequila or whatever.
Oh yeah, yeah. Hey, let me tell you that he put out, I don't know if you know this or not, I'm sure you probably do, but this past year he put out what he calls, because you're right, he's doing it independently, he's doing his own thing, and he put out the Lost Files Exhibit A and the Lost Files Exhibit B, two different albums. And on the first one, on Exhibit A, he's got a song called "God in the Ground She Walked On." Perfect song. It's so good. It's so good. And then he also, because he wrote "All American Comeback Kid" that Garth cut, so that's on there too. He's got a version of that on there. It's just a really great album. So if you get a chance to listen,
you got to start like playing keyboards for Luke Bryan.
Yeah, yeah, that was his
and
thing.
When he sits down and plays piano and sings, man, he did "Tulsa Time" live at all the shows we did with him, because we did this like
so good
tour thing with him or whatever. And it wasn't that packed out. It was in pretty big stadiums, but none of us grew enough to like pack those stadiums out. So there's 1,000 people, but it was still cool.
Yeah,
and it was, I'm sitting there, I'm like, dude, it was fucking awesome. It's like he'd sit there and do "Tulsa Time," and he'd bring people up and do that little, he'd play and just sing. And man, he's a great guy, dude. And I hate it for an artist like that. Sometimes it seems like the best guys get the shitty end of the deal, but and it also might be his values too. I mean, he I don't think he's one to take the shit from the labels too. I think a lot of it had to do with it, him standing on the ground, which he should.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, if he's serious, I'm definitely gonna go let him do that. And told my producer Eric that I would probably let him do that, and because I'm pretty loyal when it comes to guys, because Eric was producing Jimmy Allen was on top of his game at that point that he decided to work with me, and he didn't have to,
right?
You know what I mean? But he saw something in a live album that we did years ago, that's I'm actually putting some live, we've been recording some shows, so I'm gonna put some live tracks out.
Cool, dude.
It's way better than that first live album. But I was listening to that live album the other day, not long ago, and I was like, it's not bad for what it was.
Yeah.
We released that in 2017, and it was before we added, click track to the mix. We were all playing, it was all just playing live. No click track, no nothing. And just rehearsing. And you could tell, now that you play with click track, it's a game changer. You know what I mean? That's and most professionals do. I only know a few bands that don't, that are big like that, but most bands always did, and it's just coming up, getting it all set up right was beyond our heads of how to do it, it's just easier to do. I've got some live stuff that I'm gonna drop that we recorded over the past year or so, that at bigger shows and stuff. We recorded some with Randy's at Randy's show, and some at Pecos and the Rooftop Show, I think. We got tracks, and we're just going to go through and pick the best ones, maybe just release some of that shit.
Awesome.
And I'm also working on I'm hoping to film it and do it at the same time. So I'm going to take the most, requested songs, especially like NKMU.
Nice. Love the song.
Like Wildflowers and a few tracks that I haven't recorded yet. And it's just basically going to be acoustic Dobro and fiddle.
Cool.
And I'm going to record that like that. Kind of like Stoney did with this little acoustic live thing.
Yeah.
And I'm going to try to video. It'd be a video release too, but also be able to release those tracks on Spotify and iTunes of me doing "Low on Gas" just broke down. You know what I mean? And "In Came You" just broke down. And Wildflowers, I'm wanting to do with another group of females that sing harmonies and stuff. I'm going to try to get them. I have plans to do it. I don't know how the logistics are going to work out, but that's what I want to work on this year, is just putting out more content for people to see.
Nice.
Because I feel like that's where we've been lacking. I mean, stream wise, we've done as good as possible. I mean, we're apparently in the upper echelons of people who streams, because there's so many artists out there that doesn't that don't stream, that, you know, 100,000 streams to them is a dream, you know. Yeah. Mine's that's kind of a normal thing in a month, you know what
that's
I mean?
Awesome.
So like, you know, it's hard to look at it from that somebody else's perspective. So I wish I was where you're at, because I want to be somewhere else, you know, as far as that. And so just trying to get, you know, trying to get those out there, trying to write a lot more than I have. I've wrote this year, but not a ton. I write every day. I'm always thinking of a line, or I'll hear some saying or something I can spin. And we wrote one the other day with some guys, and supposed to finish it up this week. And I think the only two, I've wrote two that got recorded. In case you didn't know, I wrote it a while back. And then I recorded Dance to Heartbreak song, which we just wrote.
Yep.
But it was one of them fun ones that I thought was going to be like, again, it's, you know, people like it especially. So it's just a fun dance off song to play. And I wanted to write one of those. I didn't expect it to be a big smash hit or anything like that. But yeah, so that's where I'm at. Just trying to navigate, stay in my lane and do what I'm doing and focus
growing,
on
evolving and being yourself.
Growing, evolving and being myself and self. I promised myself years ago I'd get a bachelor's. I already got my associate's. And
I think that's so awesome. Good for you.
Well, I mean, it's awesome. If this goes away, you know, you're one vocal tear away or one thing away from, I definitely ain't quitting. When I tell people that we're slowing down touring, but I'm not quitting music. I'm
focusing on other areas.
I'm changing lanes a bit so I can maybe get out there more often the other way. And I think putting more content out for us and stuff is, I know for a fact that I like it, that I just don't enjoy it as much. And I know it's a concentrate on that and doing stuff like this and letting people know. People always tell me to, hey man, you need to film your daily stuff. That's like, I'm not that interesting of a guy.
Right. I think you're pretty interesting.
Well, I mean, you know, but like, I get what you're saying.
I'm just busting your balls.
So I thought about doing like a comedy thing. Hey, today I'm taking a shit. You know?
Yeah.
But it's like, you know what I mean? I don't, but I appreciate you having me on, man. I enjoyed it. Enjoy talking to you. Look forward
of course,
to
man. Soon, man. Yeah, anytime. You can follow Mikkel on Instagram, Mikkel Buck Band, all one word. Those are up to date with song announcements and shows and all that different stuff there. You can follow on there. And you can listen to all his music wherever you stream. He's absolutely fantastic. Go listen to him. Share it with your friends. Share it with your neighbors. Whoever you want to share it with. He's fantastic. If you like music, really great music, you'll like his music and you'll love it as much as
I do.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Remember Country Music Podcast. Remember to rate, subscribe, give us 5 stars if you love the episode, and follow us on Instagram @RCM_podcast. New episodes come out every Friday, 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Central, wherever you listen to pods, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify. It's all there for your listening enjoyment. And this is just another great week, another great episode. And I'm Kyle. That's Mikkel. We'll see you next week. Peace.
Thank you, buddy.